Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the Qalb Institute podcast, Companions of the Quran. This Ramadan, Qalb is committed to provide education and programs to all aspects of our local community as well as across the world. To help in this effort and invest in your Sadqa Jariyah, visit supportqalb.com and help us expand our efforts. Jazakallah khair and thank you for your continued support. Assalamu alaikum.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأسكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد. Establishing a relationship with the Quran is the first step to growing in the deen, not just spiritually, but also intellectually. The ulama of the past would require this of their students, that if someone wanted to study advanced Islamic law, or if someone wanted to take on a path of mastery in hadith, if someone wanted to study some of the more technical sciences of ulum al-Quran or tafsir, they would require that the student had a good relationship with the Qur'an. This would be in the form of proper recitation, memorization, practice, understanding the Qur'an, spending time with the Qur'an. If you look at the biography of one of the greatest Hanafi jurists, Imam Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shaybani, you will see that he was young when he arrived in the gathering of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi as a student. Imam Muhammad wasn't just any student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, he was actually one of his top students. The Hanafi madhab that we have today is a sadaqa, it is a gift of Imam Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shaybani. He was one of the youngest students of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. When he arrived at the gathering of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, he was actually 14 years old. What's a 14-year-old child? Look around the community and you see a 14-year-old and you don't see much potential there. This young man had studied the deen somewhat. He came to their gathering of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi and he asked Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi a question. The question was, ما تقول في غلام احتلم بالليل بعدما صلى العشاء. Dear Imam, what is your opinion regarding a man, a young man, who prayed his Isha Salah, and then later on that night he went to sleep and he had a wet dream. He reached puberty after having prayed Isha. He already prayed Isha, does he need to repeat it again? Or now, is he okay because he already prayed it? So he asked this question. ما تقول في غلام احتلم بالليل بعدما صلى العشاء هل يعيد العشاء قال الإمام نعم Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi's response was yes he will, because when he prayed that first Isha it was never fard on him, he wasn't baligh, he hadn't reached the age of maturity and puberty, and now that he has reached that age of puberty and the time remains, the actual hukm of Allah is directed towards him for the first time, and now that salah is fard upon him. فَقَامَ وَأَخَذَ نَعْلَهُ وَأَعَادَ الْعِشَاءِ فِي زَاوِيَةِ الْمَسْجِدِ Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi grabbed his footwear, went to the corner of the masjid, and he repeated his Isha Salah. Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi saw him and realized that this young man was something special. He asks intelligent questions like this, and the fact that he got up and prayed also shows that he has a desire for amal. The next time around, this was the first time that they say Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi was seen in the gathering of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. وَهُوَ أَوَّلُ مَا تَعَلَّمَ مِنْ أَبِي حَنِيفَ فَلَمَّا رَآهُ يُعِيدُ الصَّلَاةَ أَعْجَبَهُ ذَلِكَ وَقَالَ إِنَّ هَذَا الصَّبِي يُفْلِحْ إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, when he saw this young man ask this question, get up and pray, he said, this young man one day will be very successful. Some days passed by and Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi arrived in the gathering of Imam Abu Hanifa. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi turned to this young man, again 14 years old, and he said to him that in order for you to be in this gathering of fiqh, with all these great jurists and all these great scholars, there is a condition, and that is you must be hafiz of the Quran. And this is where I started today. This was a requirement of the ulama, that if you want to be something special, Imam Hanif rahmatullah alayhi is saying to Imam Muhammad that we can teach you fiqh, but you will not have a reference point. You will not have a foundation unless you go and memorize the Quran. So then Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi, he left the gathering. فَغَابَ سَبَعَةَ أَيَّامٍ ثُمَّ جَاءَ مَعَ وَالِدِهِ وَقَالَ حَفِظْتُهُ. Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi left the gathering. He came back 7 days later with his father. And he said to Imam Hanifa, please grant me permission to sit in the gathering. Alhamdulillah, I have completed my memorization of the Quran. So then Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, he then gave him permission to sit in the gathering. And later on, he goes on to be one of the star students of Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. He is known as the one that scribed the Hanafi fiqh down. The reason why they had this system was because when you build a relationship with the Quran at the earlier stage of your life, in the earlier phases of your development, whatever that development is, whether it's in school, college, Islam, in work, whatever it is, as you grow deeper in your love for the Quran because it is your companion all the way through. And then with that companionship, what happens then is that your love for the Quran comes into existence. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran speaks of this group of people, that their relationship with the Quran wasn't just surface, it was special. They had love for the Quran. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً يَرْجُونَ تِجَارَةً لَنْ تَبُورٍ. These people who do these good deeds, praying, giving zakat, and reading the Quran, they do it because they know they are in a good transaction with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is going to pay off. Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُوا هُوَ خَيْرٌ مِمَّا يَجْمَعُونَ. Say, O Prophet, in Allah's grace and mercy, let them rejoice. That is far better than whatever wealth they may amass. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had such a love for the Quran that beyond legislation, he would enjoy reading it. And at times he would say to the companions, read the Quran for me. The famous riwayah of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, the Prophet of Allah said to him one day, that iqra alayya, read the Quran for me. Qultu, aqra wa alayka wa alayka unzil. You're asking me to read the Quran to you when the Quran was revealed onto you by Jibreel alayhi salam? Look at the Prophet's love for the Quran. He says, إني أحب أن أسمعه من غيري. I always read the Quran. I want to hear someone else read the Quran. Read it for me. فقرأت سورة النساء حتى أتيت إلى فكيف إذا جئنا من كل أمة شهيد. الآية قال حسبك الآن فالتفت إليه فإذا عيناه تذرفان. That he said, I began to read and then I looked up and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in tears. Obviously there's a little bit more detail there, but it shows the relationship the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, that muhabba is what I want you to tap into. And the last riwayah that I'll share with you is also narrated by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, where he narrates from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on one interaction with Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salam, he said, why is it that you don't visit me as frequently as you can visit me? Why don't you visit me more? مَا يَمْنَعُكَ أَن تَزُورَنَا أَكْثَرَ مِمَّا تَزُورُنَا. Oh Jibreel, come more frequently. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam longed for the arrival of Jibreel alayhi salam. His heart desired, loved revelation. Come more frequently. فَنَزَلَتْ. So then Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the ayah of the Quran. وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ لَهُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِينَا وَمَا خَلْفَنَا وَمَا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ. Jibreel doesn't come on his own will. He doesn't come by his own command. He comes from the command of Allah. So don't be upset with Jibreel alayhi salam, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will give you the Quran when it is best for you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that yearning for the Quran. May He give us that love for the Quran that the day feels incomplete without it. May He allow us to feel the distance from the Quran. May He give us the courage and strength to fill that gap. That when we wake up, our hand thinks twice before turning the radio on, asking, have I fulfilled the haqq of the kalam of Allah today or not? The speech of people has no haqq on me. The kalam of Allah has a haqq on me. Just as you wake up in the morning and you ask yourself, have I responded to X, Y, and Z email? I will be held accountable for that. If I didn't respond to Mama and Baba's message, there's accountability for that. Have I fulfilled the haqq of my Rabb? And you know, there are those messages that you get, those emails. There are some emails that when you get them, you're like, ah. And there are other emails that when you get them, you're like, whoa, this is good. I'm so happy that this email came. قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. That joy overcomes us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us all. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدٍ. السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.